And now it's time for Dave's Disney View Podcast. Please move across your car to make room for everyone. Our podcast will begin momentarily. Join Dave as he makes his grand circle tour around the Walt Disney World Resort. Dave is a dreamer and an engineer who enjoys the magic and wonder of it all. But he understands its place in history and respects the legacy that's been left. So come along and take a listen to Dave's thoughts about the Walt Disney World Resorts and see it through Dave's eyes.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
And now, here's your host.
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to another edition of Dave's Disney View Podcast. Well, today's podcast is all about my firsthand experience with My Magic and FastPass Plus, and I'd like to share that with you. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey, I have the best-kept Disney World and Universal Studios vacation secret. Did you know that anyone can rent a suite ride and truly get around fast with your pass inside the theme parks? Mom, tell them.
Well, Scooter Vacations makes it fun all day long. You or someone you love deserves the best way to see everything. So why not relax and enjoy a true express ride with your pass? Scooter Vacations can arrange it and even deliver it to you. Get around the fun way, have as much fun getting from ride to ride as being on the ride. They fit on buses, boats, and monorails, and some can fit in a car trunk. Upgrade your experience and scoot everywhere. Contact Scooter Vacations at 1-855-WDW-SCOOT. That's 1-855-WDW-SCOOT. Or on the web at scootorlando.com. That's scootorlando.com. scootorlando.com.
And now on with the show. So, I took a recent trip up to Walt Disney World, and I had a chance to experience firsthand what FastPass Plus is like, and I got to think about some of the things that are going on, and I wanted to share some of those experiences with you and talk about it a little bit. Now, I have heard from people in the recent past who had varying levels of experiences, some good, some not so good, where they talked about some of the things that were happening with FastPass Plus. For example, my brother was there recently, and he was talking about how he used the FastPass Plus kiosks to set up his FastPass, and then he went about his day. They had an issue with one FastPass. They had an issue with a complaint because his wife was tired or something along those lines, and a cast member helped them out and wound up giving them another FastPass. There was another issue where one of the kids lost a shoe or something, and they wound up giving him ice cream. You know, there's all kinds of things happening there. So overall, the experience was positive. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is the cast members are what makes it all positive, what turns the experience around. The system itself seems to be a little bit, shaky is the might be the operative word here. It might be slightly flawed. I'm not sure yet. So the deal is there's a number of things that go on in the background. There's a huge algorithm that happens. There's this entire process that goes on to decide when fast passes are going to be used, how many people in the park, what's going on there. There's a number of different things that happen as far as like trying to allocate people into the park. You know, it's all about trying to keep track of everything and make sure that they're evenly distributing people into different attractions and making sure that people have a good experience overall. And it levels the playing field among people like me who were pros at going through the park and understand the park and have knowledge of where everything goes and how it fits together, and people who are novices. And I think that's great. And, you know, I understand that and I appreciate it. And I'm not in any way trying to criticize Disney for implementing it. But I am going to tell you some things that may be slightly negative about it, because I had some issues myself, and I'm not sure how it's all going to play out in the long run, because I think there's some holes in the system that need to be corrected, probably can be, but I think there's some other things that'll happen. So here's the situation. I'm an annual pass holder. My son, one of my sons is as well. My other three family members, my wife and my other two kids, are not. Just the way things worked out for us, so we wound up getting the annual passes this year for the two of us. So I got an email maybe the day I left to go up there, or maybe it was the day I got there, I can't remember exactly, saying that I could upgrade to the My Magic with the My Magic band. And hey, that's great, except for the fact it said do it between these days and this place and whatever. and my other family members weren't going to be able to do that because they were buying a day pass to be able to go in, so we weren't going to be able to link them all up. And they hadn't set up the system yet to be able to do any advanced bookings, even for the two of us, so big challenge there. And it kind of left a little bit of a hole in the process. So, you know, that's something that we had to work through, and we had to decide to do FastPass Plus while we were there and do it at a kiosk on the same day. So that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. Now, the other contributing factor here was we happened to be there near the end of March, and on that particular week, both counties around Disney World were on school vacation, and several of the other large counties and a few of the smaller ones were also on school vacations, and the weather happened to be really nice. The temperature was in the low 70s, there was no rain in the forecast, so people made last-minute decisions to come to Disney World. So where you might say that the park should have been about a medium capacity, 5 or 6 on a scale of 10, if you want to look at it that way, it was probably more like a 7 or 8 for the couple days we were there. So it was more crowded than you might have expected, so that added additional challenges. I had a chance to talk to a couple of cast members along the way, and they were saying, yeah, they were surprised by the number of people that were there. They had been forecasting all week, and over the Disney does some things where they forecast in how many people they think will be in the park, and they thought it was going to be lower, so they had lower number of cast members working. So, you know, challenges arose from that as well, because things weren't as well staffed as maybe they could have been, and they were a little bit overwhelmed by the crowd that was there. Again, not a huge deal. The cast members, you know, did a tremendous job of accommodating and, you know, doing things right. And that was great. You know, I think that was really nice, and it all worked out. And we had a great trip anyway. So regardless of how any of this turned out, it turned out to be a great trip. So it's not a complaint about the trip. It's not anything like that. It's more observational. So we decided to go in and spend 2 days at the Magic Kingdom and 1 day at Epcot. So our first day, we went over to the Magic Kingdom, and we decided to wing it and not do FastPass Plus. We just went around, and we started doing some of the attractions we wanted to do and had a little fun with it. We wound up going to the Dumbo ride, and there was a miscount on the number of people that were going to be riding on that particular round of the Dumbo elephants. And so my younger son and I, we actually weren't given an elephant to ride in. So one of the cast members walked up to us, and she was really nice, and she said, hey, you know, I'm sorry that didn't work out. Let me give you an anytime fast pass to go anytime, anywhere you want. And it was a really nice thing she did. She certainly didn't need to. All we had to wait was the extra 2 minutes to go on it again. Not a big deal. But it was a really nice gesture, and we took it. So we were starting off ahead of the game with one extra fast pass that we could use. So we went about and we were doing different things. I did notice that Pirates of the Caribbean at one point had a 90-minute wait, which seemed totally excessive to me. I have seen in the past, before they implemented the Fast Pass system into Pirates, that occasionally it would get up as high as maybe 60 minutes, maybe, but certainly not that long. I did notice that the Haunted Mansion was also a 90-minute wait, and I've never seen that before, even before Fast Pass. The longest I think I ever waited for that or ever saw wait time on that was about 40 minutes. So to see a 90-minute wait was a little bit surprising. So, you know, I kind of tucked that away as a piece of information about the way Fast Pass Plus is changing the crowds in the park, and potentially that's a little challenging. So we went about just doing our thing, and we had some fun, and we went around doing some stuff. We wound up using that FastPass Plus for something. I don't remember what it was for now, the one we got from the Dumbo ride. I think it might have been for Buzz Lightyear. We really enjoy that ride, so I think that might have been what it was for. Now, as the day wore on, we decided, you know, let's go see about getting a FastPass Plus. Let's see if we can ride some of the roller coasters, because those were the longer wait times. Now, to make matters more interesting, my older son and I, we don't ride roller coasters, but my younger son, my daughter, and my wife all enjoy roller coasters, so they wanted to go off and ride them. So we went to a FastPass Plus kiosk, actually back in Fantasyland, over by the Big Top Circus tent, and we walked in there, and we waited about 15 minutes or so to be able to talk to someone who was a FastPass Plus expert, and he was really nice. The cast member we talked to was great. He was he took his time with us. We were probably with him for about 15 minutes, and he was finagling the system, let's say. He was kind of doing some things because he understands how FastPass Plus works and was able to kind of help us to get some of the things that we wanted. So one thing that my son wanted was to be able to ride Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. He wanted to ride a roller coaster. It didn't matter which one. So he wound up getting Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Now, the way they had to set it up was they had to book something, then they had to split us off so that some of the group was doing one thing, some of the group was doing another. Then they had to change, and they had to look for availability somewhere else, and smaller groups tend to do easier than bigger groups, and yeah, that sort of thing. They kind of went back and forth, and it He kept clicking and going back and forth and doing stuff. Now, he was using his iPad. There were the kiosks there, but they had extra people with iPads out there helping out. And he's clicking around, and he finally got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad to come up for the three of them. And that was great. So there was the three of them. He went ahead and said, well, what else do you guys want to do for the other two of us? So we said, hey, how about Jungle Cruise? Sounds great. That works out well. We also wanted to do Under the Sea, The Journey with the Little Mermaid, and Buzz Lightyear again. So we went ahead and booked those for all five of us. So that was great, you know, and it worked out really well. The challenge was we went over to do the FastPass Plus kiosk, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that. The park was open till midnight, so there was plenty of time to get things in, but all of the FastPass Pluses that we got came back at after 9 o'clock. So we were running back and forth across the park after 9 o'clock to be able to get to all the things we wanted to. And as you may know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, after, say, 8 o'clock or so, some of the lines tend to dissipate. And that's because a lot of younger kids are leaving the park. And, you know, there's more adults and teenagers still in the park. But the line patterns change considerably at that point in time because it gets later. So when we went to the Jungle Cruise, I think our Jungle Cruise ride was around 10:30 or so, we went over there and there was absolutely no line. So we have a FastPass Plus that we can't even use really because, well, you know, there's no line. We use it because that's the principle of it. We're like, okay, we'll use it. Go ahead and do that. And that worked out fine. We also noticed that we went to the Under the Sea, The Journey of the Little Mermaid, and that was around 9 o'clock or so. The line was probably about 15 minutes at that point, so really the FastPass Plus didn't buy us much, but that's okay. Again, it's kind of the learning experience. Buzz Lightyear did have a longer time frame, and that was around 10 o'clock we had that one. So we went over to that one, and we were able to use the FastPass Plus, and that worked out well because that line stayed that way until about 11:30 or so when it started to dissipate a little bit. So that worked out fine. And then, of course, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, that one didn't dissipate at all, so it worked out well that we had the FastPass for that so the rest of the family could go on it. So it worked out fantastically well for them. And we got to see the things we wanted to see, and we had a great time, and it was really nice. It just was kind of awkward and weird the way we had to do things because, you know, you get used to things being somewhat of a certain way, and now it's different. And I understand that they're leveling the playing field between, you know, everyday guests and people who are there all the time and people that are like people who book well in advance and want to stay on property and so on and so on. So it's fine as far as that goes. I get it. It just seems a little odd and a little forced and a little bit difficult and a little complicated and, you know, that kind of a thing. So the next day, we decided to go back to the Magic Kingdom, and this time earlier in the day, we got our FastPass Pluses. Now, we went over into Adventureland, and we're getting them over there, and again, this time it was a little bit longer wait. We had to wait about 25 minutes or so to get to a FastPass kiosk and an expert to help us navigate the system, and again, my kids wanted to ride a couple of roller coasters, so we wanted to try and set up some roller coaster rides for them. And my older son and I, we didn't really care what we did. We were trying to think of things that we might like to do, but we realized that we'd be able to jump on some of the attractions we wanted to if we just planned our day accordingly, right? So we'd just go on a couple of things while they were doing other stuff, and we'd pick a couple of things we wanted to do. So we're like, okay, we'll just do it that way. So the lady that was working with us that day, she was also really nice. She walked through and spent some time with us. She split up the group a couple of times and tried some different things. You know, the one thing my younger son wanted to do was Space Mountain. Not available, not available, not available. We booked it down to two people instead of three because my daughter is a little bit too short to ride Space Mountain anyway. So we got it down to two people, and sure enough, Space Mountain came up at a time that was like a half an hour from where we were, from the time we were booking it. So it worked out great. And they were able to get that and be able to do it. Then we booked the Barnstormer because then she had something she could ride right then. And then we got Splash Mountain for them. And that worked out really well. But then my older son and I were looking at each other and go, what are we going to get? So we went ahead and got Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin again because we all enjoy that ride. So it worked out really well for us to do it again. So we booked that one for all five of us. But my older son and I were still looking at it like we weren't sure what we were going to do. So we wound up changing it around a little bit until we ultimately wound up getting a princess meet for my daughter. And my son and I put it under our names, and my daughter was able to go and meet Rapunzel. We selected the Rapunzel one because I know she likes Rapunzel and whatever, so we went ahead and did that. And it was great, and that was fine, and the cast member knew exactly what we were doing, so we weren't bending any rules or anything. Yes, we were part of the same party, and we were using some of our FastPass Pluses to accommodate someone else in our party. Is it right or wrong? I don't know. Who's to say, really? She was letting us do it, so it was just fine. And we went off, and we did all the things we wanted to do. And that was great. Now, the other side of the coin was, when my family went to Space Mountain and then again to Splash Mountain, they noticed that the wait time for the Fast Pass Plus was 30 minutes. So while the standby line was 120, just to go through the Fast Pass line was 30 minutes, which seemed kind of strange. You go up to it and you got the Fast Pass Plus and something's not working out there because you're still waiting 30 minutes to be able to ride the attraction. Something was amiss there, some funky numbers with something that was going on or the way they staggered the times or something. Now, I know this is something that they can fix in the future, but for the short term, it was a little bit strange because you had all these weird times and wait times and things that were unexpected. Now, I know that Disney had more people in the park than they probably expected, so they probably gave out more fast passes than they intended to, but I think they need to adjust their rules a little bit to make that work, because it happened again at Splash Mountain later when they went to ride that. There was also like a 25-minute wait before they can get on Splash Mountain. So really strange. And then it turned out, again, we had to walk across the park and be able to go to these different things we wanted to see. And then when it came time to meet Rapunzel, that was at like 8 o'clock at night or so. The Rapunzel wait time was only about 15 minutes at that point, so it was kind of funny. You kind of wait, and you go, wait a minute, it's only 15 minutes, but she has the Fast Pass to go to that. And the other one, right next to her in Princess Fairy Tale Hall, is Cinderella and a guest. And Cinderella was a 35 or 40-minute wait. So it would have worked out better had we gotten the Fast Pass Plus for Cinderella and then just walked on to see Rapunzel. But that's the way it goes. Now, we did have other times when we were walking by and some of the other queues that were there. There were short wait times, and we went right in, and it worked out just fine. Now, if I didn't say it up front, the way the Magic Kingdom works is you pick 3 Fast Pass Pluses per person per day. And since we had to book them on the same day, we were just picking and choosing what was available. Now we were trying to get to what we wanted to be able to see everything, but you pick and choose what you want to do. And then they'll help you set those up, and you can change them on the fly. Now the other problem was, because part of my family was using the multi-day passes instead of an annual pass, there was no way to use the app for the iPhone or the Android or whatever to be able to update the FastPass Pluses. To make any changes to it, we had to go back to a kiosk to make a change. Now, I know that'll change over time as well, but for the moment, it was just kind of strange. We were like, okay, how do we do this? What do we do with it? There is one more facet to the FastPass Plus that I wanted to mention, and that's the simple fact that when you're not in the app on your iPhone or your Android or whatever, on those devices, you can actually see what your FastPass Pluses are at any time, and you can review them, and you can set reminders and all that kind of stuff. If you're not using one of those devices because you don't have it linked, as we didn't, then you can't see that information. So the only choice you have is to, one, email it to you. You can ask the cast member to help you to email it so you'll have a confirmation of all the ride times and so forth. But they also recommend, the better choice is, to just take a picture of the screen. Now, think about this for just a moment. You're setting all these FastPass Plus times. You're doing all this for your group. It's up to 3 FastPasses per day. We had multiple FastPasses we were doing for different things because we were splitting up a little bit. And I'm taking a picture of it. Something about the technology just doesn't quite add up in my mind. It doesn't quite work. Yeah, it's great, and I can have it, and it works out okay. And I imagine that over time it will work out better. But it just seems kind of odd, because what if I don't have the device? And what if I don't have a camera phone? Then what? And I know people who go into the parks like that. They go in kind of commando and they don't even take their phones in. So it's kind of interesting how this kind of plays out, that they're embracing the technology, and I surely appreciate that they are. But there's something kind of odd about the way that they handle it, and they kind of force your hand into saying you have to have some kind of an electronic device in order to take advantage of the FastPass Pluses and to know when they are, because how the heck else are you going to know when they are? I was actually thinking it might be funny to stand there and like pull out a little pad of paper and just start writing them down. That would have been kind of funny. I don't have a phone. What are you talking about? And just write them down. That would have been pretty amusing. Might have to do that the next time I go. Now, the third day, we went to Epcot. Now, Epcot was much less crowded. It was much easier. Now, we had a little late start because we'd been out late the night before, so we didn't get into the park until, I'd say it was probably close to 11 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you're familiar with Epcot, you know that there are 2 big attractions there. Well, 3 if you want to count this. There's Mission Space. That's the one I was kind of hesitant about. There's Soarin', and there's Test Track. Now, the 2 big ones, Soarin' and Test Track, they tend to run out of fast passes. They always used to run out of fast passes within the first hour that the park is open. So with FastPass Plus, it's really no different. Within the first 45 minutes or so, all the FastPass Pluses are gone. Now, it's possible that somebody could give some up, and you might wind up with some later in the day, but to get a party of five to be able to go to Soarin or Test Track, going to be almost impossible. So we weren't able to do those. Now, Mission Space is a little different. The standby wait times were kind of low, and there was some FastPass Pluses available, but nobody wanted to do that attraction this time. So we kind of picked and chose some other things. Now, Epcot's a little different. They do a tiering thing where you can pick one of Soarin, Mission Space, or Test Track, and then you can pick from other things, right? So we went in and we looked at it, and we stood there and looked at the list for a while. We waited in line for 15 minutes or so to see if we could get Soarin. Couldn't get it, so we looked at the list for a while, and we wound up getting Journey into Your Imagination with Figment, Captain EO, and the Maelstrom. Now, Captain EO essentially was a walk-on. We went there an hour before our FastPass Plus time, just walked right on. Journey into Your Imagination with Figment in the same pavilion, we just walked right out, walked right over there, and it was like maybe a 3 or 4 minute wait. We walked right on that. And that was about 2 hours before our time. And we're like, you know what? Forget the FastPass Pluses. We could go back and change them, but look at that line over there. I'm not getting back in that line to try and change them because there's nothing else I really want to do where I feel like I need to do that. Now, the Maelstrom did come in handy because that was about a 90-minute wait for some reason for the standby line. So we were like, oh, this is perfect. We can just walk right in. And we waited in line for maybe 10 minutes, and we got on the ride. So that was fine. You know, that one worked out well, and I was happy we got that one. But the rest of the time, it was kind of a little odd because it just seemed like there were so many glitches with the system and so many things happening, and it just felt like, you know, we were kind of put off a little bit by the whole thing. Not that it would stop me from having a good vacation or would be bad or anything like that. It just, there were those moments when you're going, this is just silly. You know, because they're sending people to attractions that don't really make sense, and, you know, you're waiting in queues sometimes for long periods of time. I can already see that the standby queues work the same more or less as they did before in terms of the wait times and the things that you do. It's just a matter of picking the right FastPass Pluses for the things you want to do to be able to go to those things. Now, I know that in the next few weeks, they're going to be rolling out fully the whole My Magic experience and FastPass Plus to people who are annual pass holders, and then even to day guests. They'll be able to get the whole experience because they'll be able to upgrade for $13 or so to a Magic Band. Now, okay, the ticket price is already almost $100, and for $13 more, you can get the Magic Band. I hope they're not going to force you to get a Magic Band if you buy the multi-day pass like that, because frankly, I'd rather just avoid the $13 and just have a plastic card in my hand and not be able to link the accounts together. That's fine with me, and not be able to book them. The plan is for FastPass Plus bookings for people who are day guests and annual pass holders. The plan is to have about a 30-day window. If you have your tickets already in hand, you can 30 days out, you can start booking your FastPasses, which I think is okay. I think that's a reasonable amount of time. I'm having trouble with the whole 180 days out booking, you know, thinking about the things you want to book and which parks you're going to be in. We don't always decide what park we're going to be in until that morning when we go for a couple of days. You know, it's like, oh, well, let's go over to this park or let's go to that park and let's have a little fun with it. We don't always know right off. It kind of comes to us as we're going through the day. It's like, oh, we'd like to do this park, so we'll just go and do it. And that's the way we kind of think about our day. We plan it up that way and we get things going. So I'm not really sure where this is all going to net out. I'm not sure how this is going to work, if it's going to work, if it's going to work well, whatever. But at the moment, I'm kind of concerned that it's kind of in the wrong place, that things just aren't quite right and it doesn't really work. And if they don't make some significant changes to it, it could be a really bad guest experience all the way around. You know, I heard some complaints from people throughout the day. Some people were just loving it. That's, you know, and they were like, oh, this is awesome. I already booked it. I'm good. And some people were like, why is this so complicated? Why do I have to stand in line to do this? There were people who didn't have phones who were like struggling to, you know, get to the FastPass Plus kiosk. There were people who did have phones and they spent half their time looking at the app and looking through it. I found myself doing that. Really nice that they're telling you the wait times. But if you heard a podcast I did, it was a long time ago, it was a couple of years ago, I interviewed a person who wrote a wait times app, Brett. If you go and listen to his podcast, that podcast, you'll hear that, you know, your mindset changes if you use the wait time app. Because you think about, oh, where do I want to walk across the park and have the 20-minute wait, or do I just stay in this part of the park and keep doing what I'm doing? And you have to think about the park differently. And I saw people doing that, and they were kind of jogging across the park at different times to try and get to different places. And you have the crowds, and you have the parades, and you have other things in the way. There was one spot where we were trying to go up. They're still doing the construction around the hub, and you'll hear more about that in a future podcast, but where we were trying to get up and go across to from Liberty Square up to Fantasyland on the path that goes kind of behind the castle. And because of the construction and, you know, different things that were going on, and there was a parade happening at the same time, it took us like 15 minutes just to do that walk, which was kind of silly, and there was no other real way to go. So you think about that, and you go, all right, well, maybe there's some things that need to happen to make this more effective, and maybe people need to take their eyes off the app a little bit and just enjoy their day. That's the thing about Uber planning. You know, you kind of lose sight of it, and you forget about how to plan your day, and, you know, you just want to enjoy yourself and just have fun with it. So there you go. That's my take. So overall, in summary, good experience. Enjoyed myself. Had a great time. Not in love with the whole FastPass Plus. Have some issues with it. But I think most of them can be worked out. And I think it may work out as they start to figure some things out. I have no issues with them leveling the playing field. That's fine with me. If you want to take away FastPass completely, that would be okay too. But I'm just kind of struggling a little bit with the whole idea of the FastPass Plus and the way it's coming together and the number of things you have to do and the number of hurdles you have to go through just to be able to go see an attraction. And again, the cast members are the reason that this works right now. If it weren't for the cast members doing the job they're doing, I think this thing could be a disaster because the cast members really do make it better and they make everything kind of work out. So very happy with that and glad that that's working. Just kind of sad that it has to come all the way down to that and it can't just work out the way they want it to. And this comes back to the discussion. I think there are some people who have said, you know, the bean counters in Burbank who are trying to, you know, make people eaters and have the rides just attract people and go through. And, you know, you hail the almighty bottom line and don't think about the guest experience. I think that's where the flaws come in and where you kind of have the potential for problems. So I hope that they overcome all of that and everything works out. The moment I just have that sort of shy, quizzical look like, okay, is this going to work? And I kind of shrug and we'll move on. But hopefully it will. Anyway, I'll go back again and I'll give you another report after everything starts to settle down a little bit and let you know what I think about it. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. And remember, if we can dream it, we really can do it. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Disney View Podcast. Now, please exit the moving podcast. The walkway is moving at the same speed as your podcast. Kindly take small children by the hand and watch your head instead. If you have questions, thoughts, or would just like to ask Dave a question, please send an email to davesdisneyview@gmail.com. You can always find Dave's Disney View on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Show notes for this podcast can be found on DisneyWorldPodcast.net. Original music you hear in this podcast is courtesy of Sound A Music. You'll find a link to the latest Disney-related autism awareness event on the show notes page. We also encourage you to check out Dave's iPhone apps. There are a couple of Disney-related apps, including a Hidden Mickeys app and a pin trading app.